good afternoon. Just glad to see that a bunch of you hung around this afternoon. You know, there's a lot of talk around the country and around the world that Christians are haters. Partly because of the stance that we take for the life of the unborn child. Partly because that we will not bow and put our stamp of approval on homosexuality and homosexual marriage. Because we teach the gospel and it cuts their hearts. But totally because Satan's marching on the church and our way of life. I would like to address one thing right at the outpoint here. Jesus tells Christians not to hate people. We do not hate people. We may hate the things they do. We may get angry at the things they do. We do not hate people. In Luke 6, 32 through 35, "For if you love them which love you, what thank have ye? For sinners also love those who love them. And if you do good to them which do good to you, what thank have ye? For sinners also do even the same. And if ye lend to them whom ye hope to receive, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love your enemies, and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the highest. For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil." Romans 12:9. "Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good." See, according to those who wish to twist the word of God, they say that if you judge, that you are sinning. This is not true. They will take one verse from the Bible. They will not see what's before it and what's after it. And they say that we're not allowed to judge. Well, if we look at what Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 6, 1 through 3. "Dare any of you, having a matter against a brother, go to the law before the unjust and not before the saints? Do ye not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are ye unworthy to judge in the smallest matters? Know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life?" Now, all that being said, a long, long time ago, in the early 1900s, upon entering his house, a man sees his wife and mother-in-law committing a vile act. They were aborting a baby. The mother-in-law told him to go and get a doctor. Evidently, something had gone wrong with the procedure that they were attempting, and the lady, woman, became hemorrhagic. He stated something to the order of, "You did this, you deal with it." The wife stated to him, "Don't worry, it's not yours anyway." How many sins were committed to that point? In this time, this was one of the main reasons for the act of abortion, was to cover up fornication. This story came from my family in the early 1900s. This was my father's first wife. As I understand it, I would have had three more siblings if they hadn't done the things that they did. A little difficult to talk about. Today, brothers and sisters, this has become the mainstream. You can go to just about any town you want to, and find someone who will commit this act. This is thrown in the face of our God. You now see why I get so angry when I see children being abused. Standing before you is a man that cannot and will never be able to have father children. Not because of my will, but because of physical ability. And every time I think of a child that's being hurt, that is being killed before it has opportunity to even breathe a breath, I think of the loving home that my wife and I could provide for a child. The only comfort that I have for that point is that those children are in paradise. Now you hear the commercials say, but wait, there's more. Well, it gets even worse. I read an article the other day, or at least a portion of an article, from Stephen Ertelt. It was dated October 7th of this year, about Washington, D.C. Said the House of Representatives held four hearings into Planned Parenthood abortion business and the scandal surrounding the sales of aborted babies and their parts. I never in my life thought I would hear of anything like that when I was growing up. It amazes me that we do not look at the consequences of the vote that we place for our politicians. The White House, the House of Representatives, and the Senate. These acts are not the will of the mainstream. They are not the will of the average Joe. But they are the will of the low moral antichrist individuals that have been voted blindly into office. Jesus stated in Luke 17, 1 and 2, then said he unto the disciples, it is impossible, but that offenses will come. But woe unto them through whom they come. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he cast into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. You can also look at Matthew 18, 6 and Mark 9, 42. Ask yourself, how important was this message? Are we sitting back while the conversation is happening around us? Are we letting the preachers and elders and deacons take up the armor and go out into the world and fight the good fight? There is no more honorable fight than to save a defenseless child. Looking at the scripture about babies and the way that God sees them, it amazes me that anyone would say they believe in God and deny that a baby is alive at conception. Jeremiah 1:5. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Luke 1:41. And it came to pass, when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. We go to Genesis 25, 23 through 26, and we see the story of Esau and Jacob, and how they struggled within her womb. And how Jacob grabbed Esau's heel as they were coming forth. Brothers and sisters, I hear the voices of the unholy, the unrighteous, the evil, and the sinner calling for the death of the innocent. They justify their evil speech and actions by saying, I don't want to bring another child into this evil world. I don't want a child to have to suffer like I did. I am too young to be a mother. Or the father of that baby saying, I'm too young to be a daddy, get rid of that baby. Or I can't take care of a baby. Well, if they can't take care, take the responsibility, do as God commands and refrain from the sins of adultery and fornication. Reading the Old Testament, I came upon a law that dictates or dictated the action in a case of a woman who is with child and a man accidentally hurts her and she loses the child. Exodus 21, 22 through 23. If men strive and hurt a woman with child, so her fruit depart from her, yet no mischief follow. He shall surely be punished according as the woman's husband will lay upon him. And he shall pay as the judges determine. And if any mischief follow, then thou shalt give life for life. I'm not advocating going out and hurting people. I'm not advocating killing people. What I'm trying to show here is how much God cares for the life of that child that's in the woman. Children are a blessing to us. Now for those who support those individuals or knowingly vote them into office, who do these things or make it legal for them to do them. If you put them into office knowingly, you're as guilty as the person committing these things. Know the platform of the politicians that you're going to argue for. Know what they stand for. We can only know what they tell us, of course. But sadly, I hear people say, well, one side's just as bad as the other. And mostly they say this supporting the teammate. They act as if it's a football game and they want to root for one team or the other. This is not a sporting event. Democrat, Republican, or independent. First of all, we are Christians. If the individual that we would normally vote for supports something like this, vote him out of office. That's our job. Romans 1, verse 32. Who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Brothers and sisters, we support it. We're as guilty as they are. Romans 6, 21. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of these things is death. If certain people would hear me talking these things right now, walking through that door, they would say that I'm advocating going out and killing people. This is not true. Everything we do and everything we say to individuals is supposed to be out of love. That's what we're taught. God is love. We are not supposed to be revengers. Vengeance is God's. You know, brothers and sisters, we've heard sermons on sin, and there's absolutely nothing new that I can teach you. There's nothing new that I can speak on. But I can refresh your memory. Earlier I spoke of two sins, two specific things for which we are called haters. Here's the second. And again, I'm not supporting hate, I'm not supporting brutality, but I am saying that we cannot support the homosexual lifestyle. Let's put it this way. I would not let a man and woman that are unmarried come into my home and lie in bed together. But I will open my doors to anybody that wants to come in and talk on God's word. We can't push them away. We cannot look and say, that person's not worth teaching, or that person's not worth teaching. You know, I was told that about me at one time. I'd come home from a gambling night. I'd spend about 12 hours playing poker. And my wife was talking to one of the elders in Germany. And his wife made a statement, well, I don't think there's any chance for him. Well, fortunately, they didn't just leave me laying there. Even though, like I said, I would allow them an opportunity to come in and teach them. But this is the point we must adhere to. I'm not going to allow somebody to come in and be hanging all over each other. I don't care if they're husband and wife. I don't want to see that in my house either. People are supposed to be God-like, Christ-like. Romans 1, 26 and 27. For this cause God gave them up to vile affections, for even their women did change the nature, her natural use, into that which was against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of a woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. Leviticus 18, 22, and 23. Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is an abomination. Neither shalt thou lie with any beast to defile thyself therewith. Neither shall any woman stand before the beast and lie down thereto. It is confusion. You notice that the scripture puts homosexuality and bestiality in the same verses. It's an abomination. Leviticus 20 and 13. If a man also lie with mankind as he lies with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. Now, I don't know the author of this statement. I guess I could have looked it up on the internet. But the statement is, if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. We must study. We must grow. We must teach love. We must not twist the scripture. Change your life to the scripture, not the scripture to your life. You know, we have to live in this world, but we are not to be a part of it. Peter, speaking of Paul, states in 2 Peter 3, 16 through 18. As also in all his epistles, speaking them in them of things in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned, unstable, rest. As they do also the other scriptures unto their own destruction. Yet therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware, lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. But grow in peace and in the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and forever. Amen. You have talked about two particular sins. But don't get me wrong. Any unrepented sin will put your soul into hell. The ones that I spoke of today are the ones that have been highlighted recently in today's society. Without knowledge, we cannot know God. Without knowledge, we cannot please God. In Proverbs 19, verses 1 through 3, Better is the poor that walketh in his integrity than he that is perverse in his lips and is a fool. Also, that the soul be without knowledge, it is not good. And he that hasteneth with his feet sinneth. The foolishness of man perverteth his way, and the heart fretteth against God. Remember, love one another. Love the sinner. Teach out of love. Be as the apostles in the first century church. Be prepared for the slings and arrows that will be used against you. Continue to love. Continue to teach. Keep the faith and be that shining light on the hill. I'm not talking about fairs and special events. I'm talking about when we're walking around out here. We run into so many people in our daily lives. If we do not do this, can we bear the name Christian? The last verse I have for you, verse I have for you today, is Revelation 2:10. For none of those things which thou shalt suffer, behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that you may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life. With that, the lesson is yours. If anybody has any need, then come forth while we stand and sing.